Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Brought to you by our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by my partner in sports, Mr. Randy Paul. Good morning, Randy.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I almost did it myself.
You got it, though. You got it right. I'm here every day. I should be able
You're
to get that right. Something like that. It's good to have you here. Good to have you here, all of you out there. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope you're having a great, great day out there. We're going to have some fun this hour, as we do every hour. But we're going to really enjoy ourselves this hour, because why don't we get to talk to you? This is a call-in show, 424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation with your sports thoughts and feelings. I suppose you could call up to talk about other things, but Randy and I might not be much use to you.
No,
we're going to stick with sports.
Yeah.
And we're going to have some fun doing it. If we have time, I would like to get into the new NBA tournament, mid-season tournament that they've got, the NBA Cup that they are calling it. We'll get into that. But it's that time of year, Randy. It's that time of year where baseball is king. It doesn't have it very often, and it only is for like a couple of days. And during those couple of days or weeks, however you want to look at it, some of that time is spent like this, with nothing going on. You've got the Home Run Derby a little bit later, All-Star Game this week, but it is a kind of almost dead time of year for sports. You'll notice that a lot of your sports favorite shows, a lot of people are off on vacation. ESPN, pretty much dead time of year for them as well.
And they just got rid of everybody.
Yeah, maybe they did them. That's the tiniest of favors they did for them over there at ESPN when they did that, was they don't have to cover this time of year.
There you go.
I would like to send a shout out to all the people that have lost their jobs at ESPN. We'll take you. we'll take you. I mean, nothing but talent. And then the names that got let go. There was nobody that I like seeing lose their job outside of maybe a coach of one of the teams I wrote for. but for me, it was hard to see those names. I'm not a gigantic Todd McShay guy, but I don't know who can deny that he's good at this job.
Right.
Part of the reason that the draft is as big as it is guys like Kiper and McShay. But Susie Culber.
Oh, right.
I saw that name and my jaw dropped in essence, just because if anything, 27 years, you think that builds you something. And I'm a grown adult. I understand the way business works and the way that money is and everything. But it was not only cold the way they did the Friday news dump thing to them, but it was also unprofessional. I felt like it's one thing. I understand coldness in business. That's I have no issue with that, honestly. We're all adults. We sign W-2s to sign this gig, to take this job. We know what we're walking into more times than not. But the disrespect of it, that to me is unprofessional and makes me, if I am a person, if I'm Pat McAfee, I don't know I want to work with a place like that. Now, obviously, he's going to, and he signed the paycheck, and, money is king, so that's all understood. And they have ESPN is always going to have an ability to be able to market you and put you out there bigger than anybody in the world can. They got Disney money. They've got the mouse. They are the mouse network. They can do things that nobody else can. Not Fox. They can combine forces. Fox and other groups can join forces, and you still won't even come close to what Disney and ESPN can do. So I'm not saying that other people are going to turn away from them. But if I was a Pat McAfee, I would have to think about that. I don't need them. I'm doing just fine. I got YouTube. I got everything I need. I don't know that Pat McAfee is necessarily brought to a whole new audience necessarily, especially when what made him was being R-rated. And that ain't something they do over there at Disney. They don't do that kind of stuff. So he's going to have to tone down his show. And he's already walked the line on that and said that he's going to, there's certain things that'll have to change and this and that. And he's kind of trying to get in front of a lot of that. But the idea that he needs them is not the case. And to me, I don't know. Some of that stuff, we talk about it in sports. There's a reason that certain players don't necessarily get picked up. Your Trevor Bowers and things like that. Now, can you say they're blackballed from the league? You can say that, but you'll find no paper trail of it. It's a gentleman's agreement, if you will, with parentheses around gentlemen's and everything about those kind of things. So, I don't know. As far as that goes, that's a whole other thing. I actually wanted to start with rafters, but you got me on a whole tangent there.
Well, you know, with Pat McAfee, I think they're going to be offering him over $100 million.
Yeah.
And now some of these other salaries were that range, and they cut those people. So, you know, it's just like, so are people upset with him for taking the
I've
job?
Seen some of that.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. The other thing I was thinking, they're trying to do cost saving, right? So they're cutting these people, and the salaries are at that six figures and hundred millions like that. So the question is, could they have offered them less money to stay on?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is that more of a slap in the face than letting them go?
It's a good question.
Okay, we can only afford to pay you $5 million. You know, so we're saving $95 million per contract or whatever it is.
The reports I'm seeing is they were just let go, that they were not offered anything. But that's an interesting question you bring up too, because what's very fascinating to me is how much business world, political world, all these other worlds are just copying sports. That's all they're doing anymore. The rise of sports talk radio, and you take this side, I take this side, go. Like, that's politics now. That's everything now. And even business has gone that route, where back in the day, you probably would counteroffer, or you would give some kind of offer. And yeah, it was lowballed, but nobody heard about it. And you got to save some face as an organization. Like, well, we offered him something. They do this to athletes all the time. It happens every season in every sport.
Restructure their contracts, right?
Yep. Yeah. And oftentimes, they'll do something like that, and they'll go really low, and it'll be, you know, you'll hear about it maybe from the athlete's agent that it was a disrespectful offer or something like that. But you don't, now it's happening in business. And you know, maybe it always did. We just didn't hear as much about it, or it wasn't as prevalent. But it is so interesting to me to see the way the world, sports was always the kind of like, that thing on the side. We wanted to talk about news, and news meant weather, politics, you know, maybe even pop culture stuff a little bit. But sports was kind of on the side. And we got the sports guy, we'll bring him in later, that kind of
thing. Yeah, it's always at 10:25.
Now, not only is it one of the biggest money makers there is in the world, the biggest industries in the world, sports just in general, especially if you include in DraftKings and all the gambling that they've opened up and everything. But now, the politicians and everybody act like athletes, act like coaches, or act like, you know, they do all of that. It used to be back in the day, coaches and athletes, you know, star quarterback, ask him questions. He would give the same answer as the star quarterback on the other team. Well, you know, we tried really hard out there. We gave it our all, and it just wasn't our day. You know, it was always, and now that's you know, the politicians are going the other way now, like with the some of that stuff. It's interesting. It's wild the way it's happening. Not as wild as the rafter game last night. Now, that was my segue. That was all right.
Yeah, I think they had three innings where they scored like 14 of their 16 runs.
Sweet game. Nice game by the Raptors. The Bats have been waking up the last couple of games for the Raptors. And I know even the game before this, where we lost, I believe we out-hit the team. And this, not surprising to see, that this felt like it was building up. And that 16 runs, that football scored that they put out there at Winterfield, where we used to play football back in the day for longtime listeners. That was kind of a good, not only obviously good to see the Raptors win, it was nice to see those the runs come in for the players' confidence going forward.
Yeah, I think that improves their record now to 22-19 on the year in the second half. Now they're, 2-4 in the division, I believe I saw. Of course, they're again tonight. They are hosting the Mallards from Madison, and then they'll be at the Mallards tomorrow night. Interesting, though, that they split with the Pit Spitters.
Pit Spitters.
It's hard to say that three times three.
It really
split
is.
Split with the Pit Spitters.
You want to be careful with it, too. I don't know why, but you want to be careful with it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice. You know, I think it was the third, fifth, and sixth innings where they put up those 14 runs, and they had, what, 5 in the 7th and 6 in the 5th. So, yeah, when you get those big innings rolling, you're going, not unlike the Brewers yesterday, who got that big inning in the first and then held on for that 1-0 win.
Very, very similar. Yeah. Well, it's not the Brewers' fault. The Raptors took all the runs.
Yes.
You only have so many scores you can have.
In the state.
It's a rule. I don't know if you guys knew that out there or not, but yeah, that's the way
it's
it
unwritten.
Raptors back at it tonight, of course, in Winterfield. Nice one tonight, too, not only with the this weather the way it's looking. But we got a special night at the ballpark. It's Paper City Savings 100-year celebration. Come on down and celebrate with our friends at Paper City Savings. There's going to be some giveaways and stuff, a lot of fun things there. Nobody does promotions like our rafters. And Wednesday, July 12th, going to be CellCom Kids Day, along with some other fun stuff going on at the ballpark, because it's Bark in the Park night, July 12th. Game starts at 6:35. This is part of a doubleheader. This one's sponsored by Current Technologies and the Rafters. They're going to have Independence Day dress-up contest for personal pets.
Okay.
I want to see some George Barkingtons.
Oh.
I worked on that one all night, Randy.
I like it.
All
That's
night.
Why you didn't get any sleep.
This is also why we need writers and the writer strike, people. It's the kind of stuff you're going to get. That's also going to be Groomer Wars contest during the game. That sounds like a lot of fun.
It does.
We have so many great grooming companies in this local area here and everything. There's going to be some fun with that. And bingo games, prizes, more. Bring your pet to the game. It is going to be a fun one. A big, gigantic shout-out to our great friends at the Southwood County Humane Society, who joined us every Thursday with our Pet of the Week. Shout out to Madison Rafter. Wonderful that the executive director of the Southwood County Humane Society is named Madison Rafter.
Isn't it?
It's perfect.
We
tease her about this from time to time, but I don't know if it's gotten old yet. It will. I think we're still got some time with that one. Bring a donation and receive a gift from Kohler Generations and Current Technologies. We greatly appreciate all the donations that help Madison and the gang over there, you know, do some of the vital work in our community with our furry friends. Also going on tomorrow, and we're going to have a little preview of this tomorrow on the morning show when Terry Hummus joins us from Current Technologies and Central Wisconsin Gift of Life. They are sponsors for, I believe, the other game, either both games or one of these games, but Central Wisconsin Gift of Life, she'll tell us tomorrow. We'll find out specifically from her. They are going to have their Central Wisconsin Gift of Life going to be celebrating there at the ballpark, along with Bark in the Park night. And one of the things that you'll be able to do for $20, you'll get one reserve seat, one rafter hat, a hot dog, and a fountain drink. That is pretty cool. That is a sweet deal right there.
Most of the time you can't get a hat for that price.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
That's
a pretty good deal.
Sure
go to Wisconsin Rapids Rafters at their website. You'll be able to find it. Northwoodsleague.com is where you'll find all this information. Northwoodsleague.com. And be sure to listen in tomorrow morning. We'll have Terry join us in the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
That's why you always keep it tuned right here.
Yep. So this is why we tell you all the time. There's no reason to move around to other stations and put yourself through all that hassle. It's just too much, you know? There's enough hassle, and nowadays, choose your battles wisely. You don't have to push buttons. Why? Who wants to do that? No, just keep it right here. Keep it right here. I mean, if you are going to go anywhere else, I suppose 105 isn't a bad station to go to. It's pretty good, too. It's pretty good. Especially from 7 to 8 in the morning. It's wonderful over there.
Perfect.
I want to get to the home run derby. I want to get to the Brewers' first pick in the, or actually both their picks so far in the MLB draft. Two really nice picks by the Brewers. Do you want to go? Actually, you know, it's you and I, Randy, so we got to start with Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
But
absolutely.
Not the Lions, like Ooh. We have done from time to time.
The Pistons.
The Detroit Tigers logged the franchise's first ever combined no-hitter Saturday. Who knows? Who knew that they did that? Go ahead, call up 424-2600. If you knew the Detroit Tigers threw a no-hitter this past Saturday.
Now, I think, didn't the Dodgers have a perfect game earlier in the week? I think back like last Sunday or something.
I know the Yankees did, and they were trying to, that was the most quiet, perfect game ever. I'm not sure. I know that they've become more common. But this is getting a little ridiculous, where a no-hitter, and I don't care if it's a combined no-hitter or not, it's still a no-hitter. I mean, I look at it a little differently, like a lot of us, you know, traditional kind of baseball fans do a little bit. But at the same time, it's still a no-hitter. I still find it impressive. Nobody knew about this, including Matt Manning, who threw the no-hitter. it's interesting. He threw 6 2/3 innings on the mound. The no-no was finished by relievers Jason Foley and Alex Lang. So a shout-out to all of them. They're going to be able to, whether they're Hall of Famers or not, they'll be able to talk about this their whole lives. And that's always pretty cool to me, especially in baseball, you know?
So do we know did they pull a starter because of pitch count, or was there something else going on?
It looked like it was a pitch count thing. Okay. But according to Manning, quote, "Honestly, I swear I had no idea," Manning said after the 2-0 win over the Blue Jays, according to the Detroit Free Press. "After I had a scuffle in the first, I was just trying to eat up innings. We had a 2-run lead, so I was trying to protect the lead." And that's it, just locked in. And I'm not surprised by that. Like, I think non-sports fans might be. Like, how could you not know and all these things?
Right.
Not baseball guys. Baseball guys really, like, this is the way they work. Even down to the Northwoods League here, where we have Rafter players in and stuff. And while you get a lot of players, all of them are great kids. I've never had a bad interview or a bad kid come into this office, right, into the studio. But some have a little more, you know, charm, a little more personality, a little more out there, you know, and stuff. The majority of them are very, okay, I'm in here for 10 minutes. I'm going to talk. I'm going to say where I'm from. I'll put up with his questions, and then I'm out. Like, baseball, that's how it is. You look at baseball players traditionally in interviews on ESPN or anything like that. Again, going back to that quarterback giving you the stereotypical answer, it's a lot of baseball. It's very fascinating to see where baseball's gone in just a short amount of time, in just a couple of years, where it's almost the opposite now. Where when I see a guy who isn't wearing a chain or isn't like Pete Alonso or somebody like that, it's actually, whoa, hey, that guy is just kind of even keel, just kind of feet on the ground, just very the eagle from the Muppet Show, basically. I'm just here to do my job. I'm just.
That was good.
It's interesting. I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
You know, it's going to be fun watching the Home Run Derby All-Star game tomorrow night, the Home Run Derby tonight. I don't know, is Ohtani participating?
He was supposed to. I heard that he was going to like announce his name at the end. The last participant that when they put out the big announcement, he was going to be the last name mentioned to kind of like really like the big headliner and stuff. And then he got the bum finger Which how dare anything? How dare you, fate? How dare you?
32 home runs I think he has here at the break now.
This show is for you out there, and please feel free to call up 424-2600. But if I have just a moment to just talk to fate, baseball fate, don't you dare mess with Shohei Ohtani. We don't have a lot right now in sports. This is a dead time of year. Don't you dare take him away, fate. We need this. Next thing you know, De La Cruz. Don't start. Leave them alone.
Put him in the Home Run Derby. We want him pitching. We want him playing. Mm-hmm. We want him all over the screen. That's right.
Before we go to break, Randy, I did want to talk about the Home Run Derby with you a little bit. The Home Run Derby, of course, going on tonight. The Classic. This is it's a 2023 Home Derby, and it's in Seattle, for those that don't know where the Home Run Derby is this year. I think that's pretty interesting, especially considering Pete Alonso is trying to do something. He'll try to become the second player to win the event three times. The only other person to ever do that. You tell me, and you win Rafter tickets.
Ooh.
Huh?
I like that. Wow.
Randy, now I'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll talk the Home Run Derby, Brewers draft picks, some Rafters probably a little bit more. And he has some local news for us. Not much, but a little local news for us. All that coming up. But again, 424-2600, call up. Tell me who is the only person who has won the Home Run Derby three times. A little hint. It's a guy that I ramble about all the time when we're talking baseball around here.
Not Brett Favre.
Coming up right here on Playmakers at WFHR. Playmakers proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Welcome back to Playmakers here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Big shout out to our friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Thank you to sponsoring the show.
And a big shout out to Chuck Gennaro.
Yeah. Chuck Gennaro just won himself some Rafter tickets. Wait a minute. Hey, wait a second. Chuck knew.
Here.
Chuck called it. That was beautiful. That was wonderful. So if you were wondering who has won, and we'll still give these Rafter tickets away. We'll still give them away. And just, you know, we'll ask for a 90s baseball player or something like that. But if you're wondering who has won the Home Run Derby three times, Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr., the kid.
I said to James off here, I said I'd probably come up with 10 guesses, and he just wasn't one that was popping in my head right away.
I got to say that I thought it was great that Chuck knew that. I knew it because I'm a big geek about Ken Griffey Jr. Just one of my top three favorite players, like athletes of all time. Huge fan of his. But I don't know if I would have known that if it wasn't in front of me. I'm not sure. So I'm not going to hold it against anybody.
Well, you start thinking of all the great players in baseball history, you know, and you're just like, wow, there's so many names out there that possibilities are endless. But yeah, it's, it just seems obvious now that you hear the answer, right?
Right. Taking a look at the MLB All-Star Home Run Derby bracket, in the number one seed, you have Luis Roberts Jr. from the Chicago White Sox, South Siders, against number eight seed Adley Rutschman from the Baltimore Orioles. Going to be interesting. That'll be a nice matchup. Nice to see a White Sox in there, although I'm not sure how. Other than I know that the coaches and everybody put him in, but he was not voted in.
They're not in last place in the Central, so that's how he got in.
Jeez. The White Sox situation, man. Oh. The amount of talent on that team and what's happening is just a joke.
I remember before the year, you were just like, oh, this could be our year.
Yeah, yeah. I felt really good about it.
I understand there's teams that have come back from a long way after the All-Star break, but still.
It ain't happening this year. On in the number four slot is Adolis Garcia against number five Randy Arozarena. That Randy Arozarena is so much fun to watch.
He is.
Man, he is if he was on just a little bit of a bigger team, it didn't even have to be the Dodgers or Yankees, I think that he would be a household name almost. And he's building to that already. Even at Tampa Bay, I know the number one team in the league and all that stuff doesn't matter to the average fan. I'm sorry, it doesn't. They may pay attention, they may hear it because they hear somebody on SportsCenter say it, but they don't really know, and they certainly don't know players. But him, he's becoming, because of the World Baseball Classic, I think, and because of Tampa Bay being in the World Series a couple of times, he's getting his name out there.
And then they had that hot start this year, and they had, oh my gosh, what was it, like 23 home runs in about 18 games or something? Falling off a little bit right now. I know they're in first place, but actually Atlanta with the best record in all of baseball right now, with those 60 wins.
In the number six slot, but number one in my heart, Mr. Mookie Betts, my favorite player in all of baseball.
Who does he play for?
The Los Angeles Dodgers.
That would eliminate him.
and he used to play for the Red Sox. So, I mean, that's how much I love Mookie Betts, that even though despite he's played for those teams, I'm still a gigantic fan
still
of his.
Still a fan, yeah.
There's something about a guy that can give you everything on the field, that can play all the different positions, and that gives you everything he's got as a fielder. Even though he's got World Series rings, he's going to walk into the Hall of Fame more than likely, tons of all-star ballots and everything, and still, if there's a ball to shallow right, Mookie Betts is going to give you everything. He's going to give you the best opportunity he can for it. I know there's better fielders out there. For my money, if I'm starting a baseball team, I'm picking Mookie Betts second after Shohei Ohtani. I'm a little crazy. I'm not an idiot. If I got the second pick in the draft, Mookie's my guy. I'm taking him because of not only what he brings to the clubhouse, but that heart that he has that we sorely beg for in sports, but no stats can tell you. You know, we're going to go over some of the Brewers picks in a little bit. There's plenty of stats that'll tell you these kids can produce, these kids can do this or that. We have no idea how their heart is. We have no idea.
It's a little bit like Willie Adames for the Brewers, right? You just love watching that. You come to the ballpark, and who do you like to watch? Willie. You know, just the way he interacts with the team and the crowd, and he's just, I mean, he just loves what he does.
I agree with you 100%. Mookie is going to be facing off in the number three slot against Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Not a great matchup for Mookie.
No.
That kid is amazing. Yeah.
But you never know how it goes in home run games, right?
Yeah. The only reason he's in this is because of his wife. Like Mookie Betts has this plan that he wants to play every position in baseball, and he wants to play it like more than once, within reason. I don't know if he's thinking about catcher or anything, but if you've been paying attention this year, he's played shortstop, second base, along with obviously his positions in the outfield and everything. I believe he's trying to play third a little bit. But he's been talking for years, like going back to Boston, to his wife, who is his best friend and everything, and obviously has to hear all this. Like, man, I should do the home run derby. I really want to do the home run derby every year. And this year, she had it. She was done. She's like, you either do it or you can never talk about it again. I love that story. I love that. He could end up making, and he said this, these are my words, he said this, I could end up making a fool of myself out there, and I got nobody to complain to. Like, it's my own fault. Like, this is what I asked for this. So, careful what you ask for, Boogie. Finally,
happy wife, happy life.
You're darn right, Randy. You're darn right. At the number seven slot, Pete Alonso, who has won this thing, as we mentioned, twice before, going up against the second seed, Julio Rodriguez, also the hometown kid, as he is playing. This is in Seattle, and he plays for the Mariners.
So if Pete Alonso wins, it'll be his third time.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be interesting? Who besides Ken Griffey Jr. has won the title three times? You'd never come up with it.
It's so interesting, too, right. Because this is like the home run derby wasn't like the slam dunk contest. Like, it wasn't necessarily one of those things where the biggest names had to be attached to it or anything. But it's become that more and more. it feels like, as much as some people, and I'd love to know how what you guys think of this 424-2600. I understand now everybody does a bat flip. Now everybody takes 2 hours to round the bases and everything. And I've been on record as I'm more in favor of that than not. I think it has a shelf life. I think that there is a limit. It literally should not take you 5 minutes to round the bases. That's a little much to me, but I got no problem with the pomp and circumstance because I love baseball and I want to see it survive. And I want to see young kids want to play this game. But to me, these young kids that we talk about, the Fernando Tatistas and all these guys, they all are students of the game. They all get it. Like, yeah, they're bumping against some of this stuff, but the traditional stuff of the certain, like, gentlemen's agreements in baseball, a lot of these things, like, that stuff stayed. That stuff is still in there. If you are a fan of tradition, of those kind of traditions in baseball, I think you've got to be a little bit, you know, okay, I had that one wrong. These young kids get it. Even they understand that there's certain things in baseball that you don't. There's a difference of showing somebody up and wanting to celebrate your moment. I think we all know what we're talking about here, where there's the stare down, there's the look at the dugout, there's those things going on. And then there's the, oh my God, I just did something that every human being on the earth wishes they could do. You know, every one of us would love to know what it would feel like to hit a home run 450 feet or something like that. Go and celebrate. Yeah, I got no problem with that.
Game winner, run around the bases, stand on a plate, dumped with water.
That's something that I never quite understood, though, about the rounding the bases part. I have not hit a ton of home runs in my life. Most of the home runs I hit were in the park. In the park home runs, yeah, because I was fast. That was it. And I had no power whatsoever. But I've hit at least 4 or 5 in my life. So, you know, I don't want to brag. But those home runs, I got around the bases just as fast as if I was running them on normal and everything because I wanted to get back to my friends. I wanted to go celebrate with my teammates. It was almost annoying that I had to go around these bases and everything. And like, hey, everybody knows I hit this. Why do I got to touch these bases? I did it anyway. And obviously, there's a lot of fun that could be had with that from these players' perspective. But I don't know. I just round the bases and not do my celebrating in the dugout. That seems like a lot more fun. The Reds have the Viking stuff going on and everything now, and what they got with the Angels with the samurai stuff and everything. I think it's fun. What do you guys think? 424-2600.
What I like too is the fact that, you know, as they're rounding the base, maybe you got a walk off home run or whatever, that the fans get that time.
Yes.
With you.
Yes.
And that they get to celebrate the fans too. That's an important part as well.
I don't know any of us that have watched the highlights of Hank Aaron's home run and gotten to see that, and that can't be like in love, like romanticize and love an athlete walking, maybe, you know, taking their time maybe a little bit, but running the bases basically, and they hear the crowd. That's not only a good call, Randy. That's an announcer comment right there. Yeah, that's really insightful. I like that. I got nobody. I'm picking Mookie Betts for this because he's my favorite player.
There you go.
He should not. There's no way he's going to win this. But that's who I'm picking for this. Do you have anybody that you're leaning towards or anything?
Maybe Vlad Guerrero.
Yeah, I can see that. Powerful. I can see that. Yeah. I think a sneaky number two is that Rosarena.
Yeah.
I think that I could see him doing it too. Again, 424-2600. We'd love to know who you think is going to win the home run derby.
You know, you talked a little bit about tradition too, and I don't know who's doing the announcing on that tonight, but there's nothing quite like, you know, Boomer doing those, right?
Yeah. Good call.
Brings back good memories, doesn't it?
Yeah. One of those things that he was sneaky good at that I don't always remember how good he was at. We think of him with football so much.
Oh, like Sunday NFL Countdown, you know?
Yeah. Yes.
And one of the best things was just all the names that he came up with people.
Yes. Before.
Ground Control to Major Tom comes on the radio the other day or something like that. He said, oh, that reminds you of Boomer, right? Because he had one of the pro golfers, you know, he always had that song in mind whenever he came on. He just had a great way with those nicknames with those players, too.
Let's take a look at the Brewers' picks for their draft. While at Wake Forest, Brock Wilkin punished baseballs at a clip few have ever done. The Milwaukee Brewers believe he will bring that same power-packed impact to American Family Field in not too long from now, a year, maybe two.
Maybe Friday.
Yeah, it'd be nice Friday, right? Wilkins, a 21-year-old third baseman, was selected 18th overall in the first round of the draft on Sunday. The Brewers continued their recent trend of plucking a college bat in the first round. Can't have too many of them.
No.
I look at baseball this way when it comes to the draft. If I'm picking in the top 10, give me a pitcher. I know. Arm could get blown out. Never know what you have happened. But look what the Pirates did. The Pirates grabbed this kid that is looked at, and by all accounts, the next great pitcher. Now, maybe he won't be. Maybe he'll blow his arm out. Who knows? All a billion things could happen between now and the day he throws his first MLB pitch. But if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, when is the last free agent, big name, big arm free agent that wanted to come play in Pittsburgh? I'll wait. I'll stay on the air here.
We'll give you free Raptors tickets.
Yeah, I'll give you free Raptor tickets for life if you can tell me that. Like, it don't happen. No. So if you are a smaller market team, if you're a team that can't attract free agents, that's your one opportunity to grab, you know, an arm of a lifetime. And you got to do it. And fate be damned, whatever happens, I got to take this shot. Because if I don't take him and he goes on to have a Hall of Fame career, I'll never hear the end of it in the unemployment line as I've lost my job.
Well, you just think of the Brewers this year. How many pitchers have gone on the DL? Those arms, they just don't seem to hold up like they used to back in the day. No more Denny McClain's or Nolan Ryan's, that's for sure.
Yeah. Now, if I'm picking 13 even or 15 down, great, give me the best player available, or give me a utility player, or give me a power hitter. And this kid is a power hitter. The kid that they brought in, that bat is nice. He's got a great swing. It's a nice pickup for them, especially at 18.
And, you know, the other thing is the Brewers have been getting hits as of late. They just can't get that timely hit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And so, yeah, any more bats you can get at this point, because they've got the arms if they can stay healthy. Now they just need the bats.
6'4", 215. Kid is a beast. He's got a lot of potential. Looks like Wilkins hit 31 home runs last season and has set a single-season Atlantic Coast Conference record as Wake Forest reached the College World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Had 71 long balls in his 3-year career at ACC. That's an ACC record also.
That's awesome.
That's a pretty nice pickup at number 18,
I was just going to say, almost makes you wonder how he fell that far.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting because there was a ton of, first couple picks, not so much. A little bit of surprises here and there. After that, just insane. And I don't know what's going on with the Kansas City Royals. Like, the Royals traditionally have usually had great farm teams. And, you know, you can play this back and rub it in my face later or something, but they grab a high school kid who traditionally don't work out with your first pick in the first round. Like, I think number 9 or number 10 pick or something like that. When you're a team that don't exactly, you know, you don't have a plethora of talent or anything in your farm system. You got to make it count right now. And grabbing a high school kid, the Dodgers did a similar thing where the Dodgers grabbed a high school kid too. And I'm like, I thought they got smarter than that nowadays. You know, I understood that back in the 80s and 70s or something like that, but not in the aughts. These kids nowadays, it just rarely. I mean, we're talking Shohei Ohtani rare air that a high school kid works out nowadays.
I think it's interesting. You made the comment back like the 70s. You know, you think of the Big Red Machine, or you think of the Pittsburgh Pirates and some of those powerhouses back in those. Well, those guys all stayed on the same team, the Dodgers.
Yeah.
You know, you could name their starting lineup for 10 years because it never changed. Yeah. And so, yeah, you could bring young players into the farm system, and they'd have 5, 6 years, 7 years to develop before they actually had to come up because there was no need. Their lineup was set. Nowadays, with free agency, to wait for a high school age student player, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it, because you've got to believe, with all of the college baseball players out there, there's just got to be a ton of talent available that can help you in the next 2 years, right?
Yeah. Brewers drafted Abner Uribe, I believe, with their other pick. The kid who threw a 20 strikeout perfect game. You know, nothing big, nothing too much. Just a 20 strikeout perfect game. Just, you'd add him to the bullpen, you know. Just
and he went too?
I didn't see my computer froze on me, so I didn't have that. But I will have it when we come back from break.
There we go.
All right.
Perfect.
We'll have that for you right after Melissa's news and more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR. That's a good one. It's some nice bumper music to come back for Playmakers. I like it. Little That's different. Welcome back to Playmakers, everybody. Randy and James here with you. And Randy's got some local stuff for us right now. What do you got, Randy?
Well, not a whole lot going on locally. Mm-hmm. But one of the things since I've been here a couple of weeks ago was the Wisconsin Rapids Rangers. Mm. They've been on a tear. You know that they are now 17-2?
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That's some.
Their latest W's were a doubleheader sweep down in Baraboo, 6-4 and 10-6. Brendan Huber had three doubles. Braden Lewis added two doubles as well in that doubleheader sweep. And they're going to be at DC Everest tonight at 7 p.m. So congratulations to Cort Elber and his Wisconsin Rapids Rangers. They're doing a great job down there. And, of course, Brewers took 2 out of 3 from Cincinnati. And, of course, Reds had, what, 2-game lead on the Brewers going into that series. And now the Brewers have cut it to 1 going into the All-Star break here. Friday, they picked up a 7-3 win, even though they made that a little bit scary. And then Saturday had the lead, blew it, lost 8-5. And then yesterday, boy, what a nice game by Wade Miley. You talk about pitchers, right? And you talk about pickups. Yeah. We've talked about this before on the air. I was never happy when Wade Miley left, and I was never more happy than when he returned. He has just been such a big integral piece to that starting rotation. And he comes in, he gives you 6 strong innings when he works, you know, after coming back from injury. He's played solid baseball. He works fast, you know. It's just those innings, man, you change channels between innings. You come back and there's 2 outs and he's working on his 3rd hitter already. Jesse Winker got a 2-out single knocking in Yelich after a ground rule double. So he's got a 9-game winning streak. And so 3 relievers yesterday, Elvis Peguero, Joel Piumps, and Devin Williams all go 2 strikeouts in each going an inning of work, no walks. They did a great job. And, you know, Williams, we talked about him earlier in the year, too. There's just another thought with Devin Williams, you know. We said sometimes people are a better setup man than a finish, a closer. But he's done pretty well. 20 out of 22 save opportunities now he's converted. Of course, what happens is like you miss a putt. That's the one you don't remember making the 50-footer, but you remember missing the 3-footer. And you remember the ones that maybe he didn't save, right? And you kind of forget that he's saved 20 of them already, so he's done a great job. He's going to be. He won't pitch, but he's on the All-Star roster. And the only other Brewer is Corbin Burnes. So those two, and it'll be Burnes. Maybe he'll get an inning of work. We'll see how that turns out. And, of course, that's at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. And then Friday through Sunday, they got a chance to get first place because they'll be at Cincinnati. And then I think they continue the road trip 3 days after that before coming back home. So we'll talk more about that next week as well.
Yeah, looking forward to another edition of Playmakers next Monday where we will get into some more of that. And, of course, plenty of other things. But I'm curious to know if people are buyers or sellers themselves right now with the Brewers. Let's say the trade deadline was tomorrow, and you've got to make a call right now. Some of these arms, some of the uncertainty of Woodruff, some of the inconsistency of some of the talent that they have there. Do you feel confident going forward in the second half of the season that this is a team that could either take Cincinnati or take a wild card spot? And are you okay, even if they don't, if you're not confident of them doing that, are you even okay with them still kind of standing pat and not really trading off a bunch of talent and starting all over again and all that kind of stuff? And I will throw the outlier in there. I'm not talking about Christian Yelich. Everybody in their mother knows that if they can trade that contract, they're going to trade it. It's nothing against Christian Yelich. I think he's a fine kid. I like Christian Yelich as the human being. I'm a big fan of him, actually. But I also am an adult and understand that that contract is strangling that team while he's batting 250. And he's having a great season, too. I was making an argument for him to make the All-Star game. But I still understand that they would trade that contract in a heartbeat if they could.
He's not the Christian Yelich he was a couple of years ago, ever since he fouled that one off of his knee.
Yeah.
He just has not been the same player. And, you know, I don't know what his contract exactly is, but it's got to be around $100 million, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
At least for the next couple of years as well. So, yeah, that's a great point. You know, clear up some more space, but, you know, being a small market team, you know, you're gonna pick up the Wade Mileys of the world and you turn them into solid players for you. Can the Brewers make the playoffs, either wild card or win the division? I think so. Are they going to go to the World Series? Are they going to win the World Series? Yeah. I highly doubt it. You know, I'd be shocked if they did.
I think that baseball is one of those sports. Basketball, I'll say this about too. I don't know in football as much anymore if you need it. And in hockey, it's also chance and random that I think it helps, but I don't think it's that necessary. Playoff experience. I do think it actually matters in basketball and baseball. In basketball, it's almost traditional. You got to get beat. You got to get beat. You got to have the Pistons beat you up in the Eastern Conference semifinals a couple of years in a row. So you go back in there, gym, and you work out all summer, and then you come out looking like nobody we've ever seen before or something, you know? Hakeem did it. Michael did it. All these guys do it, and they're still doing it right now. Giannis had to go through it. Baseball, I think that from what I'm seeing in the last handful of years, like go back to the Royals. Like this feels like it was 50 years ago, but the Royals were in a couple World Series. Yeah. The Giants in series, it almost felt like they were in a World Series every year for a couple of years there.
The Brewers should have been if they'd have, won Game 7 at home against the Dodgers.
I think that playoff experience it excels these teams where other teams that don't have that experience and maybe have a bigger expectation upon them don't seem to rise to the occasion. I mean, everybody right now ad nauseum has been talking about how much it's not worth spending the money. The Padres, the Dodgers, the Mets, all these teams with these big payrolls, and not a one of them are in number one. Right. None of them are in first place or anything. I think we all understood. I don't think we needed this season to tell us that.
Right.
First off, we've had Daniel Snyder, who has told us, who's been teaching us this for a long time, that no matter how much money you spend on defensive tackles, you are not going to win a Super Bowl.
Right.
Dana Stubblefield still collecting money. I think we understood that already. I think that the only people that didn't know that were like the Steve Cohens, like those guys. You can never tell these guys, these billionaires that have gotten there and stuff. Well, I know better than you. I'm a billionaire. I know what I'm doing. How did I get to be a billionaire without? I'm curious to know if you guys 424-2600 are buyers or sellers yourselves. You are the GM of the Milwaukee Brewers right now. You have the call. You can do this. Do you go all in on Burns or Woodruff contract wise? Because you can only pick one, really. I don't think you can get both of them. If you're going to extend one of them, if you're going to extend, you're going to extend one over the other. I don't think you can have both. Maybe you can. Maybe there's a world where you can work that out, especially with Burns not having the biggest of years and Woodruff being injured a little bit. So I'm not saying it's impossible, but if you've got to decide, do you just hold pat and just kind of see where this goes, see how it plays out? Maybe you're fortunate, you sneak into it, you get into the playoffs, give your players a little bit of playoff experience, and maybe you can attract some more free agents. They see something building in Milwaukee or something like that. Or do you just try to hey, we're a small market team. We got to look at, we're not going to get anybody. Let's go ahead and look at more of what we can do and get some more draft picks and all this. And,
You think of expectations for the Packers over the years with Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre. It's like Super Bowl, right?
Oh, yeah.
That was always the expectation.
Yeah.
What's the expectation with the Brewers as a fan? Playoffs? I don't know. Maybe I'm guessing wrong here. Other people feel otherwise, but to me, I think that's a great goal for the Brewers. Mm-hmm. My goodness, you look at the Yankees. They're in fourth place.
Yeah,
the Mets, I think they're also in fourth place.
Mm.
Yeah, they are. Even the Chi Sox, they're in fourth place.
Yeah.
Well, St. Louis, in fifth, third, last place in the Central.
We haven't talked nearly enough about the fall of the St. Louis Cardinals.
The only reason they're only 11 and a half back is because they keep beating the Brewers. Otherwise, they'd be about 18 back.
You gave me a window, Randy. You gave me a window. So in the last minutes here, I am going to bring up football a little bit.
You can't be the Lions because we got to have a whole show.
No. But I did want to talk a little Green Bay because I had my oldest friend Chris I was hanging out with over the past week, and we were talking a little bit of football. And Chris is actually going to be helping us out in August. He's going to be doing something where he's going to Chris's main thing, he is an idiot savant when it comes to college football.
Okay.
I've known Chris for over 30 years, and nobody in my life, not on TV, not in person, knows more about these kids, knows more about that game than he does. So he's going to be, he took a couple teams, and I took a couple teams in the NFC North, and we're going to break down the rookies and give you kind of some previews and some comps to players and stuff. We're going to have fun with it. It ain't going to be a long segment, just a couple minutes here and there that we'll do during Playmakers here. Just to build us, kind of for fun, to build us up for the football season.
Which
is
a blast, always, yes.
But we got talking about it, and I thought that there was something really interesting happening with Green Bay right now, and I think it's going to continue at least until a couple of games into the actual regular season. I actually think the hot seat in Green Bay, because there's always a hot seat, I don't care if you're New England, Bill Belichick is on the hot seat, they're saying right now in Boston radio. So that tells, don't miss me with anybody else you have or anything. Jordan Love is not on the hot seat.
I
don't think he is at all.
No.
Not even close. I don't even think it's simmering. I'm not even sure that Matt LaFleur is. Maybe it's a little hot. Maybe a little 60, 70 degree weather. It's all about the defense.
Mm.
It's all about
Joe Barry.
Yeah, yeah. That is on fire right now. That is inferno. I hope he's renting. Because they've got, what, 9 first-round picks on that draft? The first-round draft picks on there? And I know they've got a couple of guys coming back for hurt and everything. But if I'm Jordan Love, if I'm Matt LaFleur, if I'm any of these young wide receivers, I am extremely thankful that they brought Barry back in one way. Everybody's looking at him. And nobody's looking at the other stuff. Once the season starts, it's going to be a completely different animal, as we all know. But right now, when every football coach, every football player, the first thing they'll tell you, no distractions, no distractions, no distractions. Right now, all the distractions, all the focus is really on him. You're going to see some people talking Jordan Love, of course. Obviously, it's a big story. But I think it's number two compared to what's going to happen with, you know, wondering what's going to happen with that defense.
Well, I think with Jordan Love, you go back and all you have to do is say, how did Aaron Rodgers do his first year full time after Brett Favre left? Yeah. And I believe he was 4-12.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, if you look at that expectation compared to what Jordan Love's going to do, I think he'll do 4-12. Yeah. A lot of people think that might be their record this year, and it very well could be.
Yeah.
They might turn more to the running game, they might incorporate more short passing game, but it still comes down to health. You know, I don't care how good your defense is. I don't care how good your offense is. How many teams can lose their number one quarterback and still, you know, it happens occasionally, not very often, and, you know, they go far in the playoffs. And if you lose a lot of players on defense, just think of all the players, you know, that got hurt last year again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a vicious game that, you know, to stay healthy. And when they got healthy at the end, the defense wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They were serviceable. So that's going to be an interesting side story, that's for sure.
I find it fascinating that you have something going on where you have two Hall of Fame quarterbacks you're going from to this kid, and that's not the biggest story in Green Bay. I think that's very interesting. I do have to, and you and I, we're the opposite of sports talk radio. You and I, Randy, we tend to agree like 90% of the time. We would never make it on ESPN. We'd never make it. Nobody would watch us. They listen plenty. We know you're out there listening, but I don't know that the most network would like us. We'd have fun. I think we'd give them a good show, but they wouldn't like us.
We'd take a salary of $2 million a year.
Sure,
we'd take a cut.
Sounds good. Sure, like that. But I do have to disagree with you on this. The Green Bay Packers are the boogeyman to me. Like, I got to see them lose. I got to see them out of the playoffs before. I'm a Bear fan. I got to see it happen, all right? I've got too much trauma. There's no way. I don't care who they roll out there at quarterback. I'm expecting him to be a Hall of Famer. I'm expecting him to dominate and run over my team. No, like, it's nobody's business and all that.
After 30 years, what do you expect? Right?
It's all I can think.
Crazy.
The Packers could go 2-15 or whatever and everything this year. 2-4. Yeah, 2-15 this season and stuff. And it would.
Two wins would be against
the Bears.
Yeah,
yes,
of course.
Yes. and my nightmares would still be happening.
I can just see Aaron Rodgers, you know, sending yes. text to Jordan.
Oh yeah,
keep it up, buddy.
I guarantee you, Aaron. Nobody is paying more attention to what's going to happen in Green Bay in this season than Aaron Rodgers. He's paying more attention to that than possibly his next opponent.
He already sent something to Sean Clifford, the quarterback from Penn State, you know, in his locker because he took over his locker and signed an autograph.
How in the world is Aaron Rodgers getting away with talking, like going to Las Vegas, doing like the head of a conference and talking about the powers of hallucinogenics and that everybody should do hallucinogens and all this? If you're Roger Goodell, you got to be sitting there like, come on, man, what are you doing to me here?
And all these Packer fans are going, no wonder we lost to the Lions.
A guy takes a hit off a joint and he's out the league for a year.
Yeah.
How is he getting away with this? There's a lot of like going on with that whole situation.
I mean, interesting year for that young man over in New York, isn't it?
Yeah. All that media is going to eat him alive. I can't wait to see week 17 Aaron Rodgers just haggard. I mean, it's already brutal to go through an NFL season and everything, but going through a season in New York in that media when you've been babied your whole career, he has no idea how babied he's been, whether it's Pat McAfee feeding him questions and never asking him follow-up questions like a good journalist would do, or the Green Bay media, which is great at what they do, but not New York. You know, and they shouldn't be.
They're
they don't
kind
have to
people.
Be. Yeah, they're good people. They're good people. I can't wait to see how Aaron handles this.
Oh.
And we can't wait to see you next Monday, everybody. We'll talk with you then. We're looking forward to another great show. Randy, thank you so much for hanging out with us today.
Always a pleasure.
And you'll be with us next week, too, right?
You bet.
Yeah, so Randy and I will be back at this next week. Did want to remind you again, Rafter Baseball on your radio dial tonight. They are in town, taking on the Madison Mallards at 5:50. We'll be at Madison in Madtown tomorrow, 5:50 pregame for that one as well. And, of course, the doubleheader on Wednesday that kicks off at 11:20. And then at 6:20, Bark in the Park night. We'll meet you there with your furry friends. It's going to be a lot of fun. Join us tomorrow for the Sunrise Show on Wiz Country 105.5 WIRI from 7 to 8. And from 8 to 10, we're right back here at WFHR with the morning show. We'll have more Midday Magazine and much more coming up for you right here at
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.